come from a Bible class we had several weeks ago. A question came up, or at least part of a discussion along this line. So I thought I would address it a little bit in sermon form or fashion. It's titled in the form of a question: Can God really forgive me? Can God forgive me? And we say yes, and we're going to say, really? So sometimes people might even say to you, you may know somebody, they're concerned about themselves and the things that they said or the things that they've done in life. And they may even think that, you know, I've done things that are too bad for forgiveness. They even may say in a particular way, God can't forgive me because my crimes or my sins are just too horrible. Or they never that mine, not only are they too horrible or too bad, but they're too many. And I've committed them for too long of a time. Can God forgive me? I've done, you know, just some awful things. Can God forgive me? I've done some things that can't be undone. I've done some things that can't be fixed. I've done things that can't be repaired or replaced. Can God forgive me? My things, I've disappointed too many people. I've hurt family and friends. Can God forgive me? I feel frustrated and hopeless because of what I've done. Oh, just situations in life. Can God forgive me? I think some people may even say, I think my case is too difficult for God. So we want to know, and we ask, is it possible for me to be forgiven and brought back in favor with God? Can that happen? Smile and say yes. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. The illustrated, I've looked at just a couple examples from the Bible. And the messages, these examples of just illustrate God's forgiveness. You know, hundreds of times in the New Testament you find the words, you know, grace or forgiveness, deliverance, salvation, save. Those kinds of thoughts are repeated over and over again. So I sometimes want to ask somebody who just feels like they cannot be saved, how many verses do you need to hear to be convinced? I've listed, I think, 10 verses out of the hundreds. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Paul said, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I think God can't forgive me. Wait a minute. We're talking about God and His Son, Jesus, who is able to do more than we even think. Hebrews 7, verse 25, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. Yeah. When I think of that word, able to save to the uttermost, I get a picture in my mind of people lined up and whoever might be in charge say, all right, I want the worst of the people to be at the end of the line. And so I get this picture of He is able to save even to the uttermost, meaning those who are way in the back of the line. He's able to save to the uttermost. Everybody. In Hebrews 5, verse 9, being made perfect, referring to Jesus, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the Old Testament, God had a picture or a theme or a message to give to a people, many times Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 86, verse 5. I didn't put this in your notes, but it's Psalm 86, verse 5 and verse 15. Verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon You." Same chapter, Psalm 86, verse 15. "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalm 103, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, plenteous in mercy." In Micah, the Old Testament prophet, in chapter 7, verse 18, he asked the question, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Good question. Who's a God that's ready and willing to forgive plenteous in mercy? Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity, passes by the transgression, retains not His anger, delights in mercy? He will turn again. He that turns again, He'll have compassion on us, conquer our iniquities, cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. We have a God like that. So now let's put God's grace and mercy to the test. That's what we're doing with these examples. You want to kind of look at some of what we would think are the worst. These are some, you know, bad boys, we might say. Let's see if God will live up to His promise and forgive them. Now, if I don't list your specific sin, you may already be going down the list. Oh, mine's not here. I wonder if God will forgive me, and the answer is yes. We kind of give a generalization in here too. So don't think just because you think, "Oh, what I did is not here, I'm not still not forgiven." No, you can be forgiven. Number one are the publicans. You may not know it, but in the Bible, when it says the word publican, these were the Jews that the Roman Empire hired to collect revenue from the other Jews. "You go get the taxes from your fellows," is what the Roman Empire said. And the system of collecting taxes was kind of a vicious one, because many times they would overcharge even their fellows, the fellow Jews, especially if they had an opportunity. They even bring a false charge against one of their fellows in hope of getting maybe some hush money. The other Jews considered this the lowest of all, or at least among the lowest of all professions, enough so to bring themselves into a class of ill favor among other Jews. "Oh, you're a publican. You're a tax collector among us. Think they can be forgiven? Tax collector? You work for the Internal Revenue Service? You think you can be forgiven?" The answer is yes. In Luke 3, verse 12, "Then came also publicans to be baptized." Uh-oh. Publicans to be baptized. "And said unto him, What shall we do? He said to them, Just exact no more than that which is appointed you." In Luke 7, 29, "All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John." In Luke 18, verse 9, "Jesus spake a parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised the others. Then two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee." Sometimes they thought, "Well, the Pharisees, they were supposed to be on God's side." "The other a publican." Ooh, a Pharisee, one of God's people here among the Jews, highly esteemed, at least sometimes. "And a publican went up to the temple to pray." Yeah. And Jesus closes out this parable by saying, I tell you, this man, being the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Can a publican, tax collector, be forgiven? Yeah. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Yeah. Jesus went to his house, and after talking with Jesus, Zacchaeus said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. A publican. Salvation. Number two is sinners. I'll use a few of these examples to kind of represent all sinners. All of us are. But even the purpose of Jesus coming into our world was announced at his birth. Matthew 1:21, she'll bring, meaning Mary, she'll bring forth a son. The Bible says you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Sins and salvation. Be saved. In Luke 7, verse 44, the story of a woman at Simon's house. She washes Jesus' feet and dries his feet with her hair. In verse 47, Jesus said, I say to you, meaning to Simon, her sins, which are many, doesn't give a list of them. I don't know what all she's done, but it's many. Many sins? Can she have forgiveness? For many? Yeah. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. In verse 48, he says it again. Maybe the others in the audience thought, oh, no, her sins are too many. Jesus said again, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. In Romans 5, verse 8, God commends his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. And sinners, number three, a woman taken in adultery. John chapter 8, 11 verses. In verses 4 and 5, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. She can't. She can't be saved. Her sins can't be forgiven. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that she should be stoned. But what sayest you? Verse 11. Neither do I condemn thee. Go. Here's the remedy. Go and sin no more. Would she be forgiven? Number four, what about someone that denies Jesus? Here you have Peter with the other disciples. They've already made a grand declaration. You can always count on us, Jesus. We'll always rally to your aid. Matthew 26, you're familiar with the story. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, in another area of the palace. Damsel came to him and said, thou also was with Jesus in Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what you say. And he was gone out into the porch. Another maid saw him, said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. He again denied with an oath, I don't know the man. And after a while, came unto him they that stood by. They said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for your speech betrays you. So he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Can he be forgiven? Denies Jesus openly before the others? Three times? Immediately the cock crows. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Then he went out and wept bitterly. After Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus meets with his disciples or the apostles. Peter is there among them. And Jesus offers Peter an opportunity to reverse his denial. In John chapter 21, beginning at verse 14, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me more than these?" Three times. He said, "Yea, Lord. I love you." So Peter later even becomes a leader, a missionary, an elder in the church. Think Peter could be, after denying Jesus three times, could he be forgiven? But those who murdered the Messiah. Are we over there? You didn't just commit murder. Look at the one you murdered. You murdered the Messiah. This is God's Son. This is the one he sent for our redemption. You killed him. It was part of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Peter said in verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, the devout Jews." Devout, religious Jews from all nations are gathered together in Jerusalem. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. You were there. As ye yourselves also know, him, meaning Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Wow. I wonder what they did when they heard that. I throw up my arm. I crucified the Son of God. I murdered the Messiah. I've crucified the Christ. You can't get any worse than that. I'm done. I might as well just walk away. Give up all hope. You can't do anything more horrible. Peter keeps preaching. He reaches a point in his sermon where he says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, in Acts 2, verse 37. Then when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They were convinced we're guilty as charged. They cried out, "Men and brethren," meaning to Peter and the other apostles, "what shall we do? Any hope for us? Shall I just crawl in a hole and cover up? What am I going to do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin." Number six, just be immoral. Be immoral. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Here's a list of sinners. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Unrighteous. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Can they be forgiven for that? Can they ever enter into the kingdom, you think? What do they have to do to be forgiven and to gain entrance? The verse continues, "And such were some of you." People he's writing to. "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." You're washed, sanctified, meaning now you're set apart for service to God, not for selfish pleasures. You're justified, meaning just as if I'd never sinned in God's sight. That's a horrible classification. Can they be forgiven? Yes. Sure can. Number seven, the chief of sinners. At least that's the way the Apostle Paul described himself. 1 Timothy 1, beginning of verse 12, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord.
Change your life. Whatever you're doing, that which was wrong, whatever that was sinful, you need to change.